Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All the interviews from the last 2 days are now available to you. WCCRadio.com. We'd love if on a regular basis you'd go to our site, WCCRadio.com/Chad. Our interview with Jay Ettinger is available from yesterday. Steve Fletcher is available. Bob Kroll. And a fair amount of conversation about the safety of downtown Minneapolis. What is working? What is not working? What is the honest conversation? And what should happen going forward? We'll move on to other topics the rest of the day, but I'm sure at different points we'll get back to it. How'd you enjoy the Twins in first place, Card? Did you enjoy it?
It was a good run.
It was a very long run, right? A heck of a way to see it go bye-bye when Santana says, hey, you thought I was good yesterday. How about another walk-off specialty? The club is in Milwaukee. They are telling us that...
The brew crew.
Okay, if you think Milwaukee Brewers and you think one player, who do you think of?
Robin Yount.
Even though we're in this town.
Yes, I know Paul Molitor.
Okay,
I just
you're not Paul Molitor in this town.
Robin Yount.
You know what that is, Dan? You know what that is? That is South St. Paul jealousy. Of St. Paul.
No.
That is South St. Paul jealousy.
Now, if I say Paul Molitor, you're like, what a homer.
You would have clobbered him for being a homer if he said Paul Molitor.
I would have either way.
But well, Ted Simmons.
Come on. I think of Molly, man. He was...
Norman Thomas.
That was Molly, handsome devil, did not belong on the team. That was a group of ugly men.
Milwaukee guys, man. Pete Vukovic.
Are you willing to say all Milwaukee men are ugly? Is that what you hinted at?
No, but I mean, you know, it's a working man's town.
Ugly is what you're saying, I think.
Just working, blue-collar guys.
Talk
man.
Show host in Minneapolis calls all men in Milwaukee ugly. Can you put that on the Twitter machine, Cook? Adam Carter calls everyone in Milwaukee ugly.
Got it.
That's a pretty good crew. So, the Dyson is back, we expect, right?
The vacuum.
He was good with the Giants this year. I mean, he wasn't, you know, why am I just blanking? Who was their closer? He wasn't Raleigh Fingers with the Brewers during that era.
Brian Wilson?
He wasn't Brian Wilson with the Giants. But he was good, right? He obviously was feeble in his two performances. You look at what happened over the weekend when they pitched Rodgers the second day. We talked about that yesterday. Did you really want to see the other options? That was the problem, right? Mays had a couple good outings in a row. If Dyson comes back, and he's just the guy he was with the Giants, if you do now have Rodgers, who overall has been excellent. We're in agreement on that, right? He has been upper-level closer. And then you have the combination of Romo and Dyson late and then getting to them May and Duffy. That's a decent bullpen, right?
Yeah. If they perform, if they perform at their top performances, yes.
If Romo just pitches how he has... Yeah. Dyson pitches how, put aside the catastrophes here. He pitches how he has. Rodgers pitches how he has. And then if you have to roll the dice with now your fourth and fifth bullpen guys, and those are...
That predicates starters going five, right? At least?
Yeah, which has been a problem.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll get to the starters. But can we agree now that if you look at the bullpen has a chance to be notably better than it was 2 weeks ago. The problem is The starters have been throwing up all over themselves.
Yeah, you got to get to them. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. We can agree that the bullpen has a chance to be notably better. But the starters have to bounce back. You have to have Berríos and Odorizzi get it back to the form that they had earlier in the year.
Odorizzi's not getting back to that form.
Yeah, well, maybe not, but I mean, that's if you're going to make a run in the playoffs, that is necessary, right?
For him to pitch the way to the first couple
months.
Yeah, he
has to. I mean, if you're going to make a run in the playoffs, you can't make a run in the playoffs without that.
Better chance I win the Masters. Then he goes 11-1 with an ERA of like 1.5, wasn't it?
Well, and I'm not saying duplicate those stats per se. I'm saying if you want to make a run in the playoffs, you've got to have at least two, if not three, starters that have a chance to get you deep into lineups against
three.
Very, very good lineups.
The way it works now with the best four or seven, I think you need three. Jose is very good. I still feel like there's just another level or two about him, and I want to see a few more of those great performances when he faces some really good teams.
Yep.
He worked his way through Sunday. It was fine. I want to see a few more when he's just shutting down great teams.
Because here's the thing. I mean, we've talked about the schedule the Twins have going the rest of the way.
Yep.
They're going to play some dogs, right? And they're going to have some opportunities to look dominant.
Yep.
But when you get to the postseason, you're not playing Detroit and Kansas City and Chicago anymore.
It would be helpful
if
you did.
Best lineups in baseball.
With the Orioles.
And if you're not legit, then forget it. You're going to get bounced right away in the first round.
A story, The Ringer. Lance Lynn has been the best pitcher in the American League this year. They're not joking. Lance Lynn's stats are outstanding. He's currently on a streak of 19 consecutive starts of at least six innings, the second longest stretch behind Kershaw. No other pitcher has strung together more than 15 such starts for the year. He's throwing harder. He's more effective. It kind of shows multiple things. One, it shows how awful last year was with their signings, right? That, he was terrible, what would we say, the first 6 weeks? And then before he got dealt, he was decent. And then when he was signed in the offseason, 3 years, $30 million, you're like, what? How is he getting 3 years, $30 million? And then, by the way, Carter, if you can predict starting pitchers year to year, you should be making.
I would be working here. That's for sure.
You would not be making $100 million. The Chris Cuomo controversy: what took place? How he reacted? How they were trying to bait him? The president chiming in. Let's get to that moment. Adam has an update right now.
I thought that's who you were.
No, my name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
and
brother?
And they used it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little Italian?
It's an insult to your people. It's an insult to your people. It's like the N-word for us.
Yeah, that's a little over the top, Chris. Let's be very, very clear on that. I am not going to defend jackasses who are baiting a guy because they don't like him and they want the viral hit. Okay? I wasn't aware that apparently Rush has been calling him Fredo for a while to mock and belittle him. Cuomo on CNN. He was at ABC for a long time. CNN now. He was part of the mornings. He follows your guy, AC360. I've come around on him a little bit. He used to drive me nuts. I think he's a very good interviewer. I mean, very good. Yeah, you can tell he leans left, but it's not just softball after softball. And again, it's a world where we have a bizarre president to a lot of us. By the way, a lot of people who voted for Republicans still say, whoa, what is taking place with the president? But again, in this era of 2019 politics, Adam, how do people look at this? Hey, man, listen, Chris is a good guy. And I agree when he criticizes a president, so this is no big deal. I hate him. I hate where he stands. He spews lies, as the president just said about Cuomo, which is just so amazingly ironic. And so this is who he is. He's just a bully. I'm not Italian. I'm not an African-American. hot take. I know you're shocked by both of those. I'm sure there's no doubt that individuals of Italian descent, when they've been called Fredo, it has been an insult, of course, tied to the Great Godfather series. To say that's the same thing as the N-word, Chris Cuomo, you're better than that. And he basically did say that today. He said, I should be better. I shouldn't have let those guys bait me. Did you see one of the most prominent people who came out to defend him?
Your guy.
My guy.
Sean Hannity.
I say good for at Chris Cuomo. He's out there with his 9-year-old daughter and his wife, and this guy is being a jackass in front of his family. In my humble opinion, Chris Cuomo has zero to apologize for. He deserves the apology. His brother-in-arms, the president, didn't quite see it the same. He picked up on the Fredo comment, talked about the low ratings, and then when he's addressing some of the reporters who are with him when he's in Pittsburgh today, he called Chris Cuomo an out-of-control animal. Sure. Cuomo absolutely reacted stronger than he should have. We are in an era where people are empowered to be belligerent, to mock, and to have their buddy videotape it, especially if it's somebody you don't like. I think there's a lot of us, though, Carter, and you too, Dan. If you're getting harassed and you're with, especially if you're with your family, especially if you're with the young kid, but maybe even if just the three of us are out and somebody is over the top going at you, this idea that every single time every one of us would walk away, not say anything and say, hey, you're entitled to your opinion. Have a nice day. That's fantasy land. It just doesn't happen that way all the time. I can guarantee you I wouldn't walk away every time. I hope I wouldn't quite go as far and then compare what they're saying to me to the N-word, because there's no comparison. But to act like all of us know that it would have been, that's okay, buddy. Go ahead and say what you want. BS. A bunch of us would have acted pretty damn close to how Chris Cuomo would have acted.
100%. The only problem I have with comparing that to the N-word.
Yes.
But I have no problem with his response to that. I mean, you could just see the guy he's talking to just totally melting down. Oh, I thought that was your real name.
Yeah.
Stop it. What a clown. And I mean, who cares? Like, he's a New Yorker. He's with his kid.
Yeah. If later today you're with Morgan and Siggy and say, hey, I don't like what you say or whatever, like, you're just going to roll
somebody's
over?
Somebody's mocking me. Yeah. No, thanks.
Dan?
I mean, I'd like to think I wouldn't threaten somebody else with physical violence over words like that.
Yeah, we can't forget that part. I'm gonna bleep you up.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm going to toss you down these stairs. And,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I
would. And that's, again, way too far.
It is, totally. But
coming back at him is not.
Have I lost my temper at a point where maybe I've said some things that I wish I hadn't have said? Sure. And it wasn't in a time where somebody was filming me, but I'm not, you know, a CNN anchor either. So, with that job, with that public profile, does there come a little heightened responsibility in terms of knowing that at any given time you could be on camera and get caught? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But would any of us have reacted differently necessarily in that same given situation, given that this guy was clearly trying to bait him? I mean, you're a better person than I am if you can say 100% of the time that you would always respond on the high road.
I don't think you're a better person. I think you're a liar. Well, I just don't think they would have reacted. A part of it, where people are saying Cuomo is a hypocrite. Let's get to that in a matter of moments. Jamie's with us in about 10 minutes. I want you to chime in on this one. 651-989-9226. Can you actually react to this without falling into your political prism? How do you think you would react if somebody was baiting you in this manner? Are you going to pay attention to cameras and how it's going to play? And are we just seeing more of this? Because we are. It's such a silly game. We see it constantly through Twitter. It's beyond trolling, and it's becoming more and more of a sport through video. Let me talk about a place I love and a place that I've spent time at many, many times over the years. Giants Ridge. In particular, Eileen, the golf courses. I am not going to deny that. That is my addiction. Golf. And I truly believe Giants Ridge has one of the best, if not the best golf course in the state of Minnesota with the quarry. Forget my opinion. Look at how it's ranked through the, by the state. Look at how it's ranked by national experts who come in and rave about how spectacular the golf course is. It's more than just a one-course place, though, because the legend started it all with Watkins and Brower, and that is also an excellent golf course. It's not just a golf place. Hiking, swimming, trails. You're so centrally located, Iron Range, let alone the winter. I mean, the winter activities are endless, and the customer service is outstanding, and multiple types of accommodations. If you want to stay right at the lodge, you want to get a cabin, they will work with you. They will work with all types of groups. Check them out today, GiantsRidge.com. A little more on Chris Cuomo here. You had a debate a while back with Anna Navarro and Steve Cortez. Right now, you don't have enough Trump defenders on CNN. They are woefully lacking Trump supporters. It's like CNN and Fox should make a trade. You know, we make all sorts of trades.
Oh, I'm thinking Dan Cortez, like the old MTV guy. Yes, like he's a big Trump supporter.
Exactly.
Dan Cortez.
It'd be more notable, but yeah, Steve Cortez.
Par for the course. They get Scott Baio and our guy, Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So there was one point where Navarro was using the same insult, the Fredo insult, towards who? Don Jr.
Little Donnie.
Little Donnie, okay? And she said, didn't give the oldest son a post saying, Daddy kept Fredo back home. The critics then said, no, wait a second. It's on Cuomo's show. Why didn't he chime in? This person reviewed the clip and says, Cuomo follows Navarro's rant by saying, all right, you know what, before he's interrupted by Cortez. It's quite possible he's able to check. He was about to check Navarro. Or maybe he wasn't. Here's the thing about that. If to Chris Cuomo, he really thinks this is the N-word, Chris Cuomo takes charge of those interviews. That's part of why I think he's pretty good. You know, that's why, you know, when O'Reilly did interviews, he could go too far on it, but he was direct. He was assertive when there was nonsensical filibustering. And too many times it became about O'Reilly. But when it wasn't, it was good. Cuomo shuts people down all the time. Adam, this idea that if he views that as the same as the N-word and it's said on his show and it's that offensive to him and he's not going to say a thing, not buying it. Doesn't he look pretty phony that way?
Yeah, that he would have said something immediately. I think we've established that. We were talking about it before, that it's a little foolish of him to go with saying, you know, calling me Fredo is the same as calling an African-American the N-word.
Your guy calling him an out-of-control animal, the president.
Well, he's a stable genius.
Yes, he is. And when the president
calls
is
talking him as he sees him.
Exactly. When he's talking about Chris Cuomo spewing lies, when the Washington Post has now updated the tote board to over 12,000 lies. I mean, there's some irony to that. What else you got going today? We haven't seen as much of you today because we've been doing a lot of this stuff in the city of Minneapolis. Have you missed?
That's your idea to kill a few more minutes of the segment?
Well, no,
what
I was just
going.
Okay,
today?
Well, fine. I'm done. I'll talk to Jamie. You know, I mean, we just.
Well, I was going to pass along police chief of Plymouth heard your conversation earlier today about cocaine and wants to know if he can stop by the old address tonight. No, Mike Goldstein, the chief of police.
Maybe at about 1:30 when I'm trying to sleep, apparently, in the Shaletta dream. Yes.
He said he'd heard that on the radio, it was passed along to him, that you had said some nice things about him. And he wanted to tell me to pass along to you that he appreciates that.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. That's how I feel about you know, police chief of Plymouth. I actually was out recently and I saw two former mayors of Plymouth.
Together?
Together. You know, who knows, forming a cabal to maybe take over Plymouth again. I don't think so, but I was very respectful of them. Unlike you, when you see the South St. Paul mayor, what is your term for him?
Gutless.
Gutless.
Yeah, but then I work on his behalf to get him elected.
Exactly. That's exactly what he does. He does the
rope. How it balances out.
He does the rope-a-dope when for 4 years he calls him gutless.
Total deep state stuff.
But then when the next candidate comes up, Jimmy, why do you love dogs?
What's the South St. Paul version of QAnon?
Yeah. Jimmy, why do you love puppies so much?
The neighborhood Facebook page.
And then the candidate A over here. How long have you been a member of ISIS and Al-Qaeda? You know, those are the type of questions. We're going to that debate next time, Cook. When we have the Jimmy Francis Part 2 debate.
Yeah, sure. If I'm not there right away, just hang out. I'll be there soon.
There's no crowd. We don't allow crowds in there. The sealed studio.
Okay, hit the button. Why did they even ask him a question?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
She's been very kind to us today. She has been on a shoot, and she took a little bit of time to join us for this nonsense. Thank you. How are you today?
I love nonsense.
I'm all for nonsense. We're not talking anything too serious during this segment today.
Yay! I need that.
Here is the average cost of a date in your state, okay? But Dan only provided me Minnesota. Minnesota. What is your guest, they viewed an average date, Jamie. They said consisting of two dinners, a bottle of wine, and two movie tickets. Do you accept that as kind of a typical date?
Sure. Two dinners, two glasses of wine, a movie ticket.
Yeah, that's
two movie tickets.
Yeah, that seems fair, right?
That's reasonable.
In Minnesota, $104.
$104. I think that's low.
Yeah, does it depend on, obviously going to depend on the circumstance. Let's say, okay, how about first date? First date, you've been set up as you set me up very successfully. First date, dinner, drink, and a movie. Do people go to a movie on their first date? That's pretty rare, right?
I mean, I don't think they should, but I do think people do.
I think they need to
Which is like a different conversation, right? Like,
yeah.
So the first date, if you're going to ask somebody to go to a movie, like, just expect to not really get to know them or talk to them,
correct,
obviously, because you're going to be in a movie. But maybe that's the point. Maybe you just want to see, like, you want to have dinner, see if you like the person. You can sit in silence for a couple hours.
Yes.
You know?
Although, let's be honest.
Not have to do anything.
Let's be honest now, with so many dating profiles, right? You might find out you love a certain type of movie. Like, you both listed under your profile. Then maybe it
Quentin Tarantino.
Right. Yeah. Then maybe it makes a little bit more sense. Have you had a chance to see the newest Quentin Tarantino movie?
I haven't. I want to really bad because I heard if you live in L.A., it actually is probably more interesting than maybe if you live other places.
Because there's a lot of pop culture references tied to California, right? I haven't seen it. And I should say to myself, I'm better than that because I was waiting for this movie forever and then just stuff's happen.
I know, but time gets away from you. I mean, I don't know. A movie is a commitment, you know?
It is a commitment. Okay, what do you think, and this is just on our own, what is the ideal first date? What should you do?
I mean, I definitely like a dinner. You know, somewhere fun.
You got to go dinner, right?
I kind of like an activity, I always think it's kind of fun if somebody's like, let's go play skee ball, or like, let's go walk the pier, or like, let's go do something other than just like sitting around eating and drinking.
I agree 100%. I think that is a better way to go. Dinner, and then you do something where you can have some fun. And you can laugh, because if you can't share an experience and be amused by it, it's the wrong person, right. I'd say. Right?
Correct. I agree. Yes, correct.
Can you tell us the worst date you've ever had?
Sure.
I mean, if you want to, if you want to name names, that'd be great.
I'm not gonna name names. But it was actually so you said worst date, not worst first date, right? Like worst date.
Either one works. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I went on a date with this guy that was a setup through a coworker, and he seemed to have his life together. He's an attractive guy. He lives here in Los Angeles. Has his own thing going, which for me is good because, like, I can't have somebody, like, needy wanting me home every night because it's never going to work. So it was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. We have a coffee date. At the end of the coffee date, he lets me know that if we – he'd like to take me out again. But if we go to dinner, he has a severe head injury that has changed his life and has changed his diet, and he doesn't drink alcohol. Okay.
Sure.
No big deal.
Yeah.
So, like, that's fine. I understand. And, like, you do you, I'll do me. Like, no problem.
Right.
So, before the second date, about an hour before, I have, he told, that morning, he texted to confirm that we were going out. Yes. Okay.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm getting myself ready. I'm, like, putting my mascara on. I'm committing to going out on this date.
Yep.
And I get a phone call. I'm having a panic attack. And I can't go.
Hmm.
So I just said, okay, do you need to talk to someone? No, I'm okay.
Yep.
Okay. I hope you feel better. He called like 2 days later and asked me out again. And then an hour before the date had another panic attack.
Oh,
so
geez.
I don't know if it's me.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't think it's you.
I mean, can you eliminate it?
But that's true, Dan. I cannot say.
I mean, just saying.
Now, if you told me, if you said this, he's the fourth guy I've dated over the years who's had a panic attack before the second date.
Isn't there a pattern?
And I'd say, yeah, it is you. I'm sorry.
I will tell you, I've been reading this book based on my Myers-Briggs personality test about, like, who, you know, who you are as an ENFP, which is what I am.
Right.
And it's like one of the sections is, you know, only date an ENFP if you can handle a roller coaster ride. Because it's something different every day. It can be fun, but it's also exhausting. And
trust me.
Maybe it is me.
I was going to say, trust me, you're talking to that person who is that person. Can be fun, but it's exhausting. And I can be a roller coaster. Cook, would you back up all those things? And we're not even dating.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, exactly. Outside of the fun, I think he said all of them are exactly. Okay, remind me the acronyms again on the test. You are what with the ENF?
I'm an ENFP, and actually, I went further. I took a test that dives deeper into it, and it turns out I am an ENFP-A as an apple.
And
the E is extrovert. Because my Myers-Briggs, I'm an I, so I'm definitely an introvert.
Yep. N is what?
So with an ENFP, it's like I'm a extrovert with intuition. I use feeling and perception.
That sounds good, right?
Well, we're a lot. We can be a lot.
Oh, God. Both of us can be a lot. That's why we get along.
I know. Actually. So if you go to this website, 16personalities.com, it dives deeper into the Myers-Briggs. And so there's an ENFP-A, which is me, and then an ENFP-T. I don't remember exactly what it stands for, but let me read you this one. So one of the sections is, don't lose that little spark of madness.
Okay. What does that mean?
Says campaigners know how to relax. They're perfectly capable of switching from a passionate, driven idealist in the workplace to that imaginative and enthusiastic free spirit on the dance floor, often with a suddenness that can surprise even their closest friends.
I kind of like that.
Being in the mix also gives them a chance to connect emotionally with others, giving them cherished insight into what motivates their friends and colleagues. They believe that everyone should take the time to recognize and express their feelings, and their empathy and sociability make that a natural conversation topic.
Well, I'm all for that, except if we're like on a group outing, if this person says, okay, I want to know all about your feelings. I want everybody to go around the room and let's lay our cards on the table. And you're like, I'm just having the potato skins over here. Can I just...
I know, but haven't I done that to you?
Yes, you have. I mean, you've done that. You've done that through text. You've done that through voicemails. You've done that in person. You followed up and you've done that. So, yes, that is you.
So, this is my other favorite. My weakness, poor practical skills. When it comes to conceiving ideas and starting projects, especially involving other people, campaigners have exceptional talent. Unfortunately, their skill with upkeep, administration, and follow-through on those projects struggles.
Yeah, but I don't buy that because look at what you do. You have to be very organized.
I have producers who help me.
Yeah, well, you...
I would not be able to get through life without my coworkers.
Yeah, well, all of us. That's true for all of us. Okay, somebody... Okay, let me ask you two questions. I'll let you go. Somebody says karaoke first date. What do you think about that as a first date?
I did a karaoke first date, and that was really fun.
I think that would be fun, right? Because
But he did. He asked before. So we went to dinner, and then he said, do you want to go do karaoke? Are you a karaoke person? And I was like, yes. And
yeah,
so it was a blast.
Right. That's the thing. If all of a sudden you go, and the guy, now in this case, goes, yeah, I really don't like it. You know, you're like, okay, why? Why are we here? Okay, so knowing you, when you did this test, did you think back to some of the guys who've been in your life and how they matched up and what it meant to you?
Or didn't match up?
Yes, or you know, like, well, all of us have been there, right? I mean, did you try to piece it back together?
Yes, I did. And so my specific personality is that, like, I really like to be big and fun and, like, shiny. And my weakness can be that I try to shrink into a relationship to fit because I am also, like, I like people to be happy.
Yeah.
And so that seems to be a problem for me.
Don't shrink.
I try to change myself.
You can't.
To fit into the relationship.
You can't. I know. And
I'm working on it. I got therapy at 6 o'clock tonight. What else do you want from
me? How about this? Why don't you record it and we'll play it tomorrow in the 2 o'clock?
My therapy session?
Yeah, just play the therapy. Cook, what do you think? We play. I mean, okay, we can't tomorrow. We got a Twins game. Thursday noon, the Jamie Ukas therapy session. I guarantee you we would get enormous numbers. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do that. All right. Go back.
Okay.
Go back to work.
Bye.
See ya. Jamie Ukas, she is fabulous. We are lucky to have her on the show. 252, that is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call for 50% off installation labor on Season Guard windows. This could be this year's winner of the Spoiled Brat Award. I can't imagine somebody's going to top this. This is a young punk in India. Celebrates his birthday. He gets a brand new vehicle. That's pretty good, Dan. Brand new vehicle. And I mean,
I'd take it.
It's a BMW.
That's really good.
Seems like it's off to a good start,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Well, it turns out he wanted the Jaguar. Jaguar.
Well, you know, and a lot of people like Jaguars.
He wanted
the
Jaguar. So what did he do? What did he do?
Very grateful and thankful for the BMW?
I drove it right in the river.
Or he did that.
Drove it right in the river to show his disgust. I mean, you don't want to send mixed messages.
Well, we wouldn't send a mixed message.
Right? I mean, if the parents are confused, does our kid like the car or not? I think you know when he drives it into the vehicle, into the water and says, it's not a Jaguar.
Pretty clear.
They should not talk to him for 3 years. All sorts of stuff available, interviews the last couple days, WCCRadio.com/Chad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.